Brock.
This is Jennifer.
And this is Leslie. Welcome to Las Vegas Weekly's Second Helping podcast, dedicated to the local food and dining scene. You can catch us every month at lasvegasweekly.com, at our YouTube channel, and at Apple Podcasts.
It's February, and so, of course, this month we are thinking all about Valentine's Day, romantic restaurants in Vegas, foods that get you in the mood, and sweet gifts for someone special.
And there's no better way to express your love than with a box of chocolates, especially on Valentine's Day. How did this practice start anyway? Well, I did a little digging, and it looks like the link between chocolate and love dates as far back as the 1500s, when Montezuma, that fearless Aztec emperor, would eat handfuls of cocoa beans before his romantic encounters to supposedly increase his libido. So there must be something to it. But there might also be an actual scientific explanation for why chocolate has such potent appeal for the amorous-minded. It turns out that it releases a type of stimulant related to amphetamine, which is released in our brains when we fall in love. Science aside, we went straight to the source and spoke to Jean-Marie Aubouin, a local French chocolatier who has spent a lifetime concocting little truffles of love, and is executive vice president of business development Chanel Bautista. They have a lovely showroom in Harmon Avenue, and they actually make all their chocolates on site, from the beans to the finished product. You still have time to get your loved one a box, and this place doesn't disappoint.
Why chocolate for, like, say, Valentine's Day? Maybe you can speak about that. Like, why?
Because chocolate is it's sexy, and sexy. Why? Because it's not because just we're gonna put a little bit of red on it, and have a nice box. It's because of the texture. It's something warm, which is when it's melting. For example, the smell is something very, very interesting. And the texture, for example, the melt in your mouth, for example, is something very, very, very feminine. And it's certainly for that, actually, Valentine's Day with all the chocolates, and after that, the heart and the shape for that. I think chocolate is healthy, of course, depending on the quantity we're going to eat. But
it's also something that you can share with someone. I think that's something that we found with, or we learned with American Airlines. They bought a 21-piece box that was a destination box, and it was designed with 21 different flavors in correspondence to the destination. But what was so unique about that box was it's shareable. You know, you taste something, and it's an experience, and you say, oh, I'm going to taste this, and then you share it with someone, and you say, you know, what do you think? Well, did you like that flavor, or did you like this? It's something to talk about. It's something to conversate about. It's something, you know.
Yeah, I think it is true. It's something that you share. It's based on the texture, a little bit of... of course, the packaging, but there's a different way to do testing with chocolates. Can be with alcohol, for example, which is a regular chocolate. But after that, yes, boxes for Valentine's. I mean, we always also try to work on flavors that they are a little bit more interesting and a little bit more, a little bit more sexy. Which is that's the way chocolate works. And because there's a little bit of magic behind that. I mean, it's. Everybody loves chocolate, usually.
Right.
Can be dark, can be milk, can be white. And especially the white chocolate and the milk chocolate have been created for women, technically, at the beginning, for women and kids. And becoming actually something very addictive. It's what they say, addicted to love sometimes, which is addicted to chocolate. It's a little bit the same because it's very addictive. You eat a little bit and you want a little bit more and a little bit more and a little bit more. And that's certainly... play a role on the Valentine's magic behind that.
It definitely sparks something in the brain,
yes,
a little bit, right? I mean, a lot of it is like maybe a memory from childhood,
certainly,
or you know, and
flavors.
Then flavors,
flavors, memory. Also,
the
when we a little bit down, for example, we're a little bit, I'm not going to say depressed, but challenges. It's proven that people actually try to get some chocolate. Because there's tannins inside, there's different actually ingredients and that make you feel better. It's not going to change the problem anyway. It's not magic like that, but it's make you feel a little bit better and say, you know what, it's a moment of pleasure. And that's, I think, it's very, very important. It's why the success of the chocolate will be all around the world and increasing every single year, because all the large chocolate companies actually are selling more and more and more because people need that.
With Valentine's Day right around the corner, I stopped by the new Garagiste wine merchant downtown so I could find the perfect wine for a romantic evening. And lucky for me, owners Mario Enriquez and Eric Prado let me try some fantastic varietals from wineries you won't find anywhere else in Las Vegas. And just a little disclaimer, I knew next to nothing about wine prior to this interview, which just goes to show it's never too late to learn something new.
Let's see. So I brought two sparklings, two whites, two reds. So, God, this one is just out of control.
Just keeps going.
So we'll start with this one then. Hopefully that'll calm down a little. So this is sparkling Chenin Blanc from France, from the Loire Valley. So this is a quote-unquote natural low-intervention wine, organic, biodynamic, from a producer named Jackie Blow.
Okay.
First time to Vegas, we have read about them, heard about them. When they finally showed up through the distributor, they said, "Do you guys know these wines?" And we're like, "Of course," mm-hmm. you know. And he said, "We have seven cases that landed." And we looked at each other and we immediately were like, "Let's take all seven."
Nice.
And he was like, "I don't know." We're like, "Just try." So, and then 3 days later, all seven showed up.
Wow.
So we're the only place in Vegas that has this wine. So yeah, I mean, clean, crisp, you know, it definitely has the Chenin Blanc characteristic mm-hmm. of, you know, kind of that bruised fruit oxidation characteristic, which I absolutely love. Chenin Blanc is probably my favorite grape.
Okay.
But yeah, it's extremely refreshing and extremely affordable. So
awesome.
Why not just crush that all the time?
Yeah. And then so a little bit of a newbie question.
Sure.
So Chenin Blanc, like you said, that's the grape.
Correct.
So across the board, when you mm-hmm. say Pinot Noir, when you say Merlot.
Sure.
We're talking about the grape.
Correct.
Okay. But then that also becomes the style?
Not necessarily.
Okay.
Because grapes can take on a number of different styles
okay.
depending on multiple factors, okay. whether it be, you know, the climate in which they're grown, whether it be the winemaker's hand in the winemaking process. So there's a number of factors that involve. And, you know, like most things in wine, it's not so cut and dry, you know. So like Chenin Blanc, for example, is probably one of the most versatile white grapes. It can be made in multiple different styles, from sparkling to completely dry to a little bit of sugar to overly sweet.
Mm-hmm.
So it just runs the gamut of styles, which is another reason why I enjoy it so much, because it offers a little bit of everything.
Okay.
You know, so even things like Chardonnay, when you hear people say, "Oh, Chardonnays are oaky or buttery," or that can be true, sure, but that's one style.
Okay.
You know, so there's other Chardonnays that can be, you know, clean and citrus driven and more mineral based without the oak or without the butter. So it's just, you know, I wish there was a better
right.
better way to understand it all, but that's kind of where we come in and to hopefully have those conversations and say, "Hey, this is this style, if you like that,"
mm-hmm.
you know, at least, yes, it might be the grape you're looking for, but it may not necessarily be made in the style that you're familiar with.
Okay.
So
that makes more sense. And then again, that grape name, is it fair to call that the varietal then?
Correct.
Okay, that's the varietal.
Yep,
okay.
Absolutely.
All right. Getting
yep.
my terminology down. Wine 101.
Varietal,
it's so funny
sure.
because especially being a food writer, I drink a ton of wine.
Sure.
And there's, I mean, I've talked to somms at the dinners.
Yeah.
But they just read something and then you, "Oh, okay, cool."
Right.
And then they walk away and you drink it.
Because it's such a, I don't want to say rushed environment, but
yes.
it kind of is a rushed
yeah.
environment. I mean, thinking back, you know, when we were working the floors in the restaurant, you have 30 seconds,
mm-hmm.
you know, to make the decisions and come up with something to hopefully match what they're looking for.
Right.
You know, most of the time, there are, you know, a few times where, yeah, people definitely want to chat and pick your brain a little bit
mm-hmm.
further, but for the most part, it's a very high, you know, high turnover, high, you know, pressure situation, mm-hmm. but you know, it's just super fast paced.
Right.
And to try to get all the information out pretty much as quickly as possible, because you don't want to take away from their experience. You don't necessarily know what they're wanting necessarily. They right. may not want to talk. So right.
they just want a nice wine at the table.
Absolutely. And that's where, you know, we have to come in to, you know, come in and hopefully be able to read the situation and say, okay, I'm just going to go there and, like Mario said, just touch on, you know, the quick basics. Or if they want to chat, then yeah, we can get as nerdy as mm-hmm. they want, hopefully. Mm-hmm. So, you know, awesome. But yeah, there's a lot of information out there, and, you know, we're never going to know it all, but I like to think that we know a fair amount. So,
absolutely.
You know, hopefully we can share a little of it. So,
cool. So, may I try this one, or should
yeah,
we?
No, I'll okay. pour, yeah, I'll all right, pour cool. You, and if you like, you can use this as a spit bucket.
Oh, so okay. I not, may not do that.
That's okay. No worries. I brought it just in case.
Thanks.
I don't know the. I wouldn't either, so.
That is really good.
Right?
Yeah.
So, yeah, super fun. Mm-hmm. Just easy drinking, you know, light, crisp, yet has that bruised.
Right,
for me, it's
right.
like that bruised yellow apple. Like a yellow totally. Apple that fell off the tree. You know, it's been there for a couple days. You smell that, and you're like, God, that smells like Chenin Blanc.
Mm-hmm,
so,
yeah. And then, so I know another thing that people, a lot of people who are like I said, not super into the wine world, don't realize that Champagne is the region
correct.
In France.
Correct.
So would people incorrectly often mistake this for a Champagne?
Absolutely.
Okay.
So, and, you know, it's not necessarily for us to quote-unquote correct them.
Right, right.
So, but you are correct in saying that, yeah, Champagne can only be labeled Champagne if it comes from that region, Champagne,
right.
France. Everything else would be considered a sparkling wine,
okay.
regardless if it comes from France somewhere else. United States, wherever else it might come from, it would just be kind of classified as a sparkling wine.
Mm-hmm.
Or it could be classified as the sparkling wine of the area it comes from. So
okay.
like in Italy, there's Franciacorta, which is sparkling wine from Franciacorta made in the Champagne style.
Right.
That's where it gets a little
okay.
tricky.
Okay.
So,
and is Chenin Blanc always sparkling?
No.
Okay.
No, yeah, runs cool. runs the style.
Like you said,
yeah,
okay.
Runs
got
the style,
it. All right,
so
see, I'm
it's
learning.
It's fun when it's sparkling. Everything's
right.
more fun when
yeah.
it's sparkling, right?
And then,
I agree with Mario. I'd have definitely have something sparkling on my desert island.
Gotcha,
so.
Gotcha. They are just fun.
Yeah, and they're not always, you know, meant for celebratory. People kind of forget that it's still wine, and you could enjoy sparkling wine throughout the meal.
Mm-hmm.
You know, not just, oh, celebratory, let's start with that. So,
mm-hmm.
I mean, definitely a great way to start,
mm-hmm.
great way to finish, but it could definitely work with the meal throughout.
Sure,
so.
Sure.
So the second wine mm-hmm. is... This is called a Pet Nat, also known as Petillant Natural.
Okay.
So basically, it is a single fermented sparkling wine. So when Champagne goes through a second fermentation in the bottle, this only gets fermented one time. So when you said kind of kombucha-ish,
mm-hmm.
You're not wrong in that the similarities are there.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, even if you taste it, you'll be like, oh, it kind of does taste like that as well. But, I mean, this is a style that has been made for hundreds and thousands of years before, you know, before the Champagne method even came about.
Oh, wow.
So these are, yeah, very ancient styles of winemaking that are, you know, kind of coming back into play. And they're just fun. And typically they're lighter and lower alcohol and just fun to drink. Yeah, so this is Pinot Gris. The producer's name is Commune of Buttons. It actually comes from Australia.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we, of course, want to do everything we can to support Australia right
yes,
now. So,
absolutely.
You know, it's devastating what's going on there.
Mm-hmm.
So anything we can do to help, and the wines coming out of Australia are fantastic. So, but yeah, so if you want to, it
yeah.
sees a little, you know, time on the skin. That's how it gets kind of that orangey color.
Okay.
So all the color and grapes lie in the skins. So the more time it sits, the juice, mm-hmm. the more color it will extract.
Okay.
So even reds, the darker they'll become. Whites, you know, they'll become more orange and copper type mm-hmm. colors. Mm-hmm. So, because all juice will be clear, it's all the skin contact.
Okay, wow. I had no idea.
So, yeah, so see what you think on that. Kind of a kombucha.
Yeah, it has that kind of, like, tart, not like vinegary, like sure. I was expecting, sure. because when you said it was a little yeah. similar, I expected, you know, that kombucha like hits you in the face sure. with like.
But it definitely has kind of that sour.
Yeah, the sourness, you know,
almost
to
even
it.
Like a sour beer.
Yeah, you know, like very much so.
You definitely can get still that fermentation kind of process kind of happening still. You know, so they're all natural, so there is going to be a lot of, you know,
sediment
and yeast and things at the bottom, which it's not bad. You know, people get turned off by that, but that's. I mean, it's all nature, you know, it's all agricultural products,
right.
and it's part of it.
Mm-hmm.
It's just...
I like seeing the sediment.
Yeah.
Like you said, I feel like it's going to be, not always, but
sure.
could signify a fresher product.
Sure.
And the scent, too, you really smell kind of that, almost that, like, funkiness
right.
that you get with, like, a kombucha or
sure.
something that... yeah, I don't want to say it's been fermented because it's all been fermented, but you know
yeah,
what I'm trying
definitely.
To say. Okay, and then what was the style or this varietal called again?
This is Pinot Gris.
Pinot Gris.
Pinot Gris. So
and
same grape as Pinot Grigio.
Okay.
Just Pinot Grigio comes from Italy.
Okay.
Pinot Gris is the grape name that they use in Australia, France, United States. So it's
okay.
the same grape, just different. Yeah. Different,
oh, okay.
Different location.
And then you said pet.
Pet.
And so what
so,
is...
So
okay.
it's basically once fermented instead of twice fermented. Basically.
And that's what you were saying about low intervention.
Can be.
Okay.
Yeah. So the pet nat is more of the style.
Okay.
So, you know, the lower intervention is basically the winemaker's doing minimal... very, very minimal
mm-hmm.
to the grapes, to anything, you know, typically no herbicides, pesticides, things like that. They're not fining or filtering, so it's not clear.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're not adding any, you know, chemical yeast strain. They're using just the natural yeast that the grapes have on them. They're not adding sugar. They're not adding acid.
Mm-hmm.
It's just pretty hands-off, just letting the grapes do their thing.
Seems
so,
like a very traditional
absolutely,
way.
Absolutely. So, yeah,
cool.
I mean, wine's been around for thousands of years and made pretty much like that.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it's just for the long, you know, for the last 50, 60 years or so, everyone's been accustomed to the conventional style, which there's absolutely nothing wrong with that. I mean, the classics are the classics
mm-hmm.
for a reason. But I don't think we should turn a blind eye to, you know, to the traditions as well.
Sure,
so,
sure. So we did go on to sample a few more wines, all which were unique and delicious in their own right, but my favorite was definitely the Pet Nat Pinot Gris by Commune of Buttons. Brock and Genevieve, do either of you have a favorite wine?
Well, I'm actually more of a whiskey drinker than a wine drinker.
Okay.
But I think I'm going to visit this place so I can learn a little bit more about wine. It never hurts to learn.
That is true.
Yeah, I don't really have a favorite grape. I like French wines and I like Spanish wines, and I'm always trying to find, you know, something that's not just, oh, let's have a glass of Cabernet or something like
mm-hmm.
that. So it sounds like this is the perfect place to go try something new and get a little more direction and ideas from people who know what they're talking about.
Definitely. It's super approachable and they're really fun and they know so much. They're so knowledgeable. So definitely check that out. No matter what your favorite style of wine is, I definitely recommend heading to Garagiste before Valentine's Day to find something for your special someone. Again, big thanks to Eric Prado and Mario Enriquez for having me in for a tasting. I definitely learned some things I can flex at my next dinner party.
So, of course, Las Vegas Weekly has an article about great Vegas restaurants, perfect for a Valentine's Day date, that you need to check out before making your reservations this year. You might want to pause this podcast and head to lasvegasweekly.com right now and take care of that. But we're going to give you some additional options right now. Compliments of the Sexy Second Helping Hotline. That's right. Stop laughing. We have our very own hotline just for romantic restaurant recommendations. And the only people who have the number to call in are the hottest entertainers on the strip, the singers and dancers, and frequently scantily clad performers of female and male review shows. Let's ask these wonderful people where we should eat on Valentine's Day.
Hi, Las Vegas Weekly. This is Lorraine Apparel from the show Fantasy at the Luxor. I have two favorite restaurants. One of them is off the strip called Casa de Amore. It's old Vegas style vibe with romantic live music. The other one, believe it or not, is at the Luxor. It's called Tender Steakhouse. I highly recommend that restaurant. It has the best steaks ever, and it's romantic and has a great atmosphere. I'd highly recommend any of those two restaurants. Hope you enjoy and check them out. Bye.
Hey, Las Vegas Weekly. This is JoJo from the Crazy Girls at Planet Hollywood. My favorite romantic restaurant is Rao's Italian, located in Caesar's Palace. I love Rao's because Italian is my absolute favorite, and they definitely do it right. They have a huge variety, and my favorite thing is the meatballs. The atmosphere is also very romantic and perfect for date night.
Hi, Las Vegas Weekly. This is Ryan Worley with Chippendales at the Rio, and my favorite romantic restaurant in Las Vegas would have to be the Voodoo Steakhouse. It's at the very top of the Rio, so the view of the strip is just amazing. And the last time that I went there, the service was amazing. I got the sea bass, and I got the lobster bisque, and everything was just delicious. It's definitely a place that you have to check out.
Hi, Las Vegas Weekly. This is Nina from X Rocks at Bally's. My favorite romantic restaurant in Las Vegas is Hugo's Cellar because I love the old Las Vegas style.
Hi, Las Vegas Weekly. This is Olivia from X Country at Harrah's. And my favorite romantic restaurant is Herbs and Rye because the food is delicious, the cocktails are incredible, and I love the environment. It's dark and it's romantic, and it's a great place to take a date.
Hi, Las Vegas Weekly. It's Caroline from Ex Burlesque over at the Flamingo. My favorite romantic restaurant in Las Vegas is Andiyan. It's over at downtown Summerlin, and even though it's a big place, it still feels intimate the way they've decorated it. It's a lovely setting. I love the service, and the food is amazing, so go check it out.
It's time to wrap up this edition of Second Helping with the best things we ate this month. Other than a ton of chocolates at Jean-Marie Aubouin, the salted caramels were especially unforgettable. The best thing I ate this month was the Branzino at Mayfair Supper Club. I know the three of us have been there, and we can probably do a whole podcast on this alone, from the food to the entertainment to that spectacular view of the fountains. But I'm going to single out this dish as my favorite thing this month. It's the Branzino at the Supper Club. It's actually prepared very simply, just crusted on top with garlic and salt, but the texture was just about perfect. This is exactly how I like my fish prepared, simple enough so you can taste the freshness of the fish. Leslie, what was the best thing you ate this month?
I have to second Mayfair Supper Club. It exceeded all of my expectations, like you said, from the show to the fountains, but the New York Strip was by far my favorite thing I ate this month. It's also prepared really simply. It comes drizzled in a balsamic reduction, which just pairs perfectly with the steak. Each bite is sweet and savory and totally delicious. So I definitely recommend that. And I also tried some great cocktails this month, one being from Mayfair. That was the French Martini. It comes with this whip on top that's almost like a sorbet. And it's sweet and very strong, so you really only need one to get the job done. And while I'm here, I want to recommend the new cocktail pairing at the freshly redesigned Vesper Bar at the Cosmopolitan. For just $22, you can get a classic cocktail and its reimagined version, which is really a deal. You can't really find a better one on the Strip. What about you, Brock?
My favorite meal from a restaurant was the simple but always outstanding Bacon Crunch Burger at Bobby's Burger Palace. This is one of my guilty pleasures. It's Bobby Flay's burger joint located in front of Aria and the Waldorf Astoria right on the Strip. If you haven't been, go check it out. I think it's one of the best burgers in the city. But the most memorable and, I guess, significant meal I had this last month was at a friend's house. It was also somewhat simple, a venison roast with mashed potatoes, but it was special because he actually went on a bow hunting trip in Minnesota and shot the deer himself. And he's not much of a hunter. That's not something that he's done all his life or anything like that. But he basically learned how to do this and went on a few trips. I think this was his second or third time out that he actually shot this animal. And the reason that he did it was to get a better understanding for himself and his family. He's got two young children, about where our food comes from. And when you eat a piece of meat, that it comes from an animal that lived a life. it's really easy in Las Vegas, where we have all these amazing fine dining restaurants and not very much agriculture, to get disconnected from that understanding. And it doesn't matter if you eat meat or not. We all want animals to be treated well, and we should all try to make good decisions about what we eat based on that. So it was an interesting and positive experience overall to have that dinner with friends, and it was a great meal. And there was apple pie, so it was pretty awesome.
That sounds really good.
Well, that's all for this podcast. We hope you enjoyed listening, and if you did, give us a rating and review on Apple Podcasts and come back for more in March. Special thanks to Sonia Barcelona for lending us her song Violent Water, and go check out the new live video for her song Indian Girl right now at artofsonia.com. Thanks for listening.